Gentlemen, did you hear those people clap? Here's the deal. The other two choirs, no offense to them, didn't get any claps. We're going to talk about Jesus having the Spirit. You sang about the Spirit. I think that was the Holy Spirit in them. What do you think? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come and worship. Help us to love, would you? Pray for all those who serve. Lift up a few. We got plenty on the list, of course, Lord, but for our troops and police and firefighters, EMS folks, help us all to serve with respect and honor and grace. We pray for discernment and wisdom and for thy will to be done, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Questions? I got 25 questions in my hour and a half sermon. Anyone ever engage their mouth before their brain? Three of us, four of us, nice. Ever said something you regret? Oh, anyone have the gift of putting both feet in their mouth at one time like me? Oh, isn't it amazing? Sometimes our words get us in trouble. There was a man who smelled like a brewery and he flops down on the bus seat in the waiting area, right? And one of the bus stops right next to a priest. And this guy smells terrible, his jacket's torn, there's a half-empty bottle of wine sticking out of his pocket, his clothes are messy, and he stinks to high heavens. He opens up the newspaper and starts to read. Well, needless to say, the priest is a little bit more than uncomfortable, right? The smell and the appearance, and he just can't stand it at all. And a few minutes go by, and the untidy, inebriated guy says to the priest, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" The priest, annoyed. The priest retorted, "Mister, it's caused by loose living, too much alcohol, and contempt for your fellow man." The guy who's inebriated says, goes back to his newspaper. The priest now is feeling terrible that he said something really not as loving and compassionate as he could have. Humans, all of us. He says to the man sitting next to him, "I'm so very sorry. I didn't mean to be so rude to you. How long have you had arthritis?" "Oh, I don't, Reverend. It says in the paper here that your Pope does, though." It's true, what we say can get us in trouble. The gospel lesson that we're going to spend a few minutes on is from the Gospel of Luke, 4th chapter. I think it's on page 835 if you want to follow along. Jesus has just come from his baptism, right? The heavens open. This is my Son, the Beloved. The Holy Spirit is on Jesus. That same Spirit then leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. By the way, he puts the devil in his place. So now that same Spirit brings him to Nazareth. Nazareth, the town he grew up in. It says in verse 16, he came to Nazareth and he went to the temple where he'd been brought up in the synagogue, as was his custom. Meaning, he went to church. Question for Kurt is it important that I go to church? Did Jesus tell us every day, as was his custom? Probably a good idea if I go to church. He reads from the prophet Isaiah. Back then, by the way, they would stand up to read and sit down to preach. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's it anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives." I got stuck on that word, captives. What captivates you? What becomes your God? What is the most centered piece here that you really got to be doing? You know, there's a reason I'm not on social media. Jesus then says this, verse 21. "The scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He's implying, of course, that what? He's the one who brought it. Jesus is the one that Isaiah is talking about. So picture Jesus going back to his hometown congregation to preach the church that he grew up in. You heard about that young pastor, right? He returns home to his home congregation after serving out on the East Coast. And every time he preaches, this one charter member of the congregation always walks up to him without fail. Warm sermon, Pastor. Warm sermon. Pastor's thinking, what's with the warm sermon? So finally the pastor has the guts to walk up to this member of the congregation and say, Ethel, I need to know. It's been years you've been telling me the same thing. What does warm sermon mean? Ethel looks at the pastor. Not too hot. That's not what happened here, though. In the book that Jesus is on congregation, it says what? The people were all marveled, and they spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. They said, hey, wait a minute, isn't this Joe's kid, the carpenter's kid? Didn't we see this little kid working on his dad's shop? What's with this guy? You see, the people in that congregation had an expectation. They wanted to see Jesus do the kind of things that he had been doing in Capernaum, because word had spread about this young pastor, this young man named Jesus. They had expectations. Do for us here what you did there. So in response to the people's what? Skepticism, Jesus reminds them of their own history and how God used two non-believers, non-Jews, not part of the chosen race, and by the way, they were also foreigners. It's not what the synagogue people wanted to hear. It rubbed them the wrong way when Jesus starts talking about Zarephath, this one widowed woman. Why should this woman, a foreigner, be singled out when you have all these predominant men you should be teaching them, talking about Jesus? Clearly, Jesus has gone from preaching to what? I'm going to meddle now. But he didn't stop there. He starts talking about who? Naaman, right? Another part of their history. Naaman was a Syrian general. Bad guys, wrong side. He was a leper who was cleansed by the power of God. When all the others, all the Hebrews, were not cleansed. Not only was Naaman an unlikely repentant and recipient of God's mercy, he was a Gentile, he was an outsider, he was not one of God's people. Again, the people, what? This isn't what they want to hear. They wanted to hear about how God favored them, not some Syrian. They wanted to know how that they were still God's chosen people and that only the God's salvation only belonged to them. Jesus makes it clear, I think, that the good news of the gift of God's love and grace and forgiveness is not something that we hoard, but it's to be lavishly poured on everybody. You see, the people expected a Savior that would rescue them from the Roman Empire. The Romans had been under the Jews had been under the empire of Rome for decades. And they wanted someone to save them so Israel could be a free, wonderful nation again. But no. Here's a question. Do we have any expectations of Jesus? Well, Lord, if you really loved me, you'd do this and this and this and this. Where did we ever get the idea that God's love is only for nice, clean, respectable, prosperous people? So before Jesus could even finish his sermon, before the people came forward and said, nice, really enjoyed the sermon today, Pastor, or warm sermon, no, the people were angry. I mean, brutally angry. Jesus did not meet their expectations. The congregation turned into an angry mob. So my small mind goes to, what does that look like? They're spitting at him. They're throwing stuff at him. They're hitting them. They didn't like the message, so they what? They wanted to kill the messenger. Why? Because what Jesus was saying was blasphemy. And the punishment for blasphemy is death. So they take Jesus and they get him to the edge of the cliff of the town. And did you hear what Pastor read? The last verse. They're ready to throw him off the cliff, and Jesus said, but it says, but Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. How'd that happen? Did Jesus know kung fu or something? I don't know. But maybe a lesson we can learn from that is this. Maybe it's best sometimes if we just walk away. Don't engage. Don't overreact. Don't do the... Just walk away. You see, Jesus has the audacity to say that God has the right to show mercy and grace to whomever God wants to show mercy and love and forgiveness. Even to those people that we don't think qualify. The people in his home congregation expected something different from this kid. They expected to hear how God favored them. They expected to hear that they were the chosen ones and how salvation was only for them. Question. What do you expect? Amen.